You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, in today's world, there are many voices calling us to pay attention and to follow. Let's be honest, some of those voices want to bless us, some of those voices want to destroy us, and the problem is it's difficult to tell the difference sometimes because we live in a world of much evil and much deception. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is trying to help us see that there are two voices and there are two very different outcomes. Now, we might say there are more than two voices, but if we put this whole group together, we have one. If we put this whole group together, we have another one. So really, there are two. We're in John chapter 10 today, but keep in mind, though, we're transitioning from John chapter 9. So we looked at John chapter 9 about a month ago, and Jesus was talking in that chapter about spiritual blindness and talking about the Pharisees being spiritually blind. Now, as he goes on in this chapter, he is talking about himself being the true shepherd and then the Pharisees being the false shepherds. So it does flow from chapter 9 to chapter 10. You'll see at the beginning of the reading here that it talks about something called a sheep fold, or we might call it a sheep pen. So I want you to try to picture what this would look like a long time ago. So imagine a fairly large area, and there's a wall around that whole area, probably made out of stones, and maybe very high, maybe 8 to 10 feet high. And there's one gate in that whole enclosed area, and at that gate is a gatekeeper. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Why the high wall? Well, the sheep could go into that pen during the nighttime or when the shepherd had to be somewhere else, and they would be safe in that pen from wild animals coming over the side and devouring them, and also, too, from people with evil intent trying to come over the wall and harm or steal the sheep in some way. With that picture in mind, let's go back to our text here as we go back to John chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So we have a number of characters, if you will, identified here. So Jesus talked about the sheepfold, the thief and robber, the shepherd, and the sheep. So think about it like this. The sheepfold, we could say, is the entire kingdom of God. And then the thief and the robber, that is the one who intends spiritual harm upon the sheep. The shepherd, obviously, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, and also those who are speaking his very words. And then the sheep would be all who believe in Jesus. So Jesus goes on now and talks about the shepherd in verses 3 and 4. He said, "To him, to the shepherd, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." When we think about the sheep pen, they say that the sheep pen was large enough, it could accommodate several different herds of sheep. However, though, the sheep truly knew the voice of their shepherd. So let's say the shepherd, he comes to the gate, the gatekeeper lets him come in, and then that shepherd would call to his sheep, and even if there were three different herds in the pen, only his particular herd of sheep would perk up, they would know that was their shepherd, and they would come, and the others wouldn't pay attention. It worked that way a long time ago. Well, in today's world, there are many voices potentially we could listen to, but the question for us is, which voices are we hearing? It's important that we tune in on some, like an old transistor radio, but it's important for others we shut off the radio and pay no attention. Since there are wicked people out there who are calling us, wanting to destroy us, Jesus is giving us this information today so we would listen only to him, only to God's holy word, only to those who are rightly proclaiming that holy word. We have a classic example. You probably have heard it before there in Acts chapter 17, but it's a good one to repeat, though, as we think about which voices we should listen to and which voices we should not listen to. It says that the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. Now, that's talking about the Apostle Paul coming to them, proclaiming a message to them. They were very eager to hear it, but it says they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So no matter how great his credentials were, no matter how persuasive he looked or how persuasive he spoke or taught, what they said to themselves, we want to hear what he has to say. We're going to take some notes, but we are not going to believe a word of it until we go home, get out our own copy of the scriptures. So it wouldn't have been a codex, would it? It would have been rather a scroll. So they would have gotten out their own copy of the scriptures, though, and they would have compared, he said this, the scriptures say this. He said this, the scriptures say this. And only after they found out that the two were the same would they take that teaching and make it their own. So it's important for all of us to do that very same thing. And then in verse 5, Jesus went on to talk about a stranger. He said, a stranger they will surely not follow. The way that's in the Greek there, it's in the strongest negative that you can write. In other words, a stranger they will surely, absolutely, by no means will they follow. But they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, we live in a little bit different world today, but you have to go with me here for a minute and think back maybe, let's say 20, 30 years ago. No caller ID, okay? So the phone is ringing, and normally back then, people would actually answer the phone. An amazing thing, right? So the phone is ringing, and you pick it up. And the amazing thing is, God has wired us in such a way that almost immediately we would know whether the person on the other end was a loved one or a stranger just by the tone of the voice. We don't have that opportunity so much today, do we? We see the caller ID, we're able to pick it up and say the person's first name, and they're like, how did you know that was me? Well, it was right on my phone. So much different today. In a similar way, God is calling us to know the Bible so well that when we hear someone say something, right away we're able to process and say, he said this, but I know the Bible says something different, so I'm going to tune him out. That could be a friend, a family member. That could be someone on TV or radio. But God wants us to always be comparing. So the way we compare, we have to know this book well in order to be able to make those comparisons. When it's good, we embrace it. When it's against the word of God, we should quickly flee to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave this advice over in Matthew 7. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So people can appear to be right on the outside. They maybe are saying things that are 99% true. So they seem to be so true, but if they're not 100% true, then in fact they are false. So he wants us to be aware of such things. And then the Apostle Paul gave this instruction to the Christians living in Rome. He wrote, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ. So back then, there were such things going on, also very common today. And then in verse 6, the Bible records these words, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. It's almost like he was speaking a parable, so he was talking about spiritual things, but he was using terminology of physical or earthly things. Did Jesus give up at that point? By no means. Now he's going to go on in the second part of the sermon, and he's going to basically say the same thing again, but in other, more understandable words. Let's know this too, that whenever we understand the Word of God, it's not that we figured it out, but rather it is because of God's blessing opening our spiritual eyes to be able to see that truth. Even when I'm talking to someone and they get it, it's not because of me that they got it. It's always because of God that they got it. Going to verse 7, we come now to the two outcomes. And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me," talking about the false prophets, the false teachers, "all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." It's interesting, in the Old Testament, we have so many people that were identified as the people of God. But of the people of God, the Bible tells us over and over again that God was very disappointed with most of them. But the Bible then does talk, though, about a remnant, and we could call that the faithful remnant. So of the very large number, there was a very small number. They were the remnant. We find that word about 80 times in the Old Testament. So with that remnant, even though they were attacked over and over again by the devil and by false teachings and so on, by the grace of God, he kept them faithful. He kept them looking for the promised Messiah to come throughout the Old Testament. So when we continue in Christ, that is all glory to God. He is doing that. He is keeping our ears open to his truth. He is keeping us on the path to heaven. And then going to verse 9, we come to the topic here of salvation. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So let's understand that Jesus Christ, he is the door to paradise. He is the only way for us to go to God the Father who is in heaven. So Jesus is the door. Jesus has made the way for everyone. But why is it that some have entered, but many have rejected? Why is that? Well, only God knows all such things, but one factor that's very important, which I think most people are not aware of, because we do live in a world today where most people would say, "I think I'm good enough, and I think based on my goodness, it's going to work out okay." But the Bible is teaching very clearly that unless we agree with God's word and set aside our feelings, unless we know that we are sinners to the extent that we deserve not only physical death, but eternal punishment, if God has not brought us to that point, we're really not going to be interested in Jesus Christ. When I think about being deserving of both temporal and eternal punishment, do I feel that that's what I deserve? Temporal and eternal punishment? Okay, I can agree with the temporal part. But eternal punishment? Forever and ever and ever? Apart from God? In a horrible situation? I don't feel like I'm that bad. Who's in agreement with me? What do you think? So we don't feel that bad, do we? We're kind of the good guys. But here's the very important part, though. Our feelings are a very powerful reality for each of us. But what is so important, though, is we take the Word of God and we place it above our feelings. So my feelings are here saying, "God, I don't think I'm quite that bad." But in His Word, God says, we are poor, miserable sinners. We have fallen short. We have earned physical death. We have earned eternal punishment. Now, we might not feel that way, but when God says it, it's important that we say, okay, God, I don't feel it, but I know your word is true. Therefore, I'm going to set aside my feelings, and I'm going to go with your word. So I know I'm in trouble. I know I can't fix it. I know I'm helpless. That's where God wants us to be. And when we know that we're in that situation, then, at that point, we are finally open to Jesus Christ. Think about what happened there on the day of Pentecost, where Peter is preaching, and he tells the people gathered there that this one whom they have crucified is, in fact, both Lord and Christ. They've been waiting for Lord and Christ to come for 4,000 years, and now those people crucified him. What a horrible thing. But the Bible says they were cut to the heart. They felt like they were dead men walking. They thought it was all over for them for eternity, and yet Peter had good news. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For all of our loved ones and friends and co-workers and so on, it's hard to bring that kind of a message to them, but unless they know of their own utter helplessness, honestly, they're not going to ever receive Jesus Christ. So may God help us to always set aside our feelings and hang on to the Word of God. We can know that is much more important. That is always true. Finally, in the last verse, in verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the thief wants to steal us away from Jesus. He wants to physically put us to death. He wants to consign us to the lake of fire. So Jesus is saying to us to not be foolish. Let's be aware of who our enemies are. So we have the devil as our number one enemy. We also have the sinful world in which we live as a great enemy. And we even have our own sinful natures within us, another great enemy. What do we need? We need God to be at work in us by his Spirit through his word. Therefore, by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by our baptism into Jesus Christ, by God's holy absolution, by the instruction of God's holy word, by the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us stand firm in Jesus. Let us continue to hear him. Let us continue to know that in him we are forgiven. And let us rejoice that even now we have an abundant life, and yet in Christ there is so much more good to come. May that reality carry us through the difficulties now, and may God help us to look forward to the wonderful things to come in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the very best shepherd. So you came, you lived, and you laid down your life for us, the sheep. Now you are risen and alive forevermore. So help us to ever hear you, and help us to ever follow you throughout this life, and finally into a wonderful, most blessed eternity. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.